called meeting to order at 2 minutes after the hour, 1600 UTC. So first, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining the annual PairingDB meeting and your interest in the governance of this organization. First and foremost, thank you very much to the stewards and volunteers and all of the members and users that use our platform. And thank you all for joining this meeting and your interest in the governance of the organization. And of course, thank you very much to our sponsors. Without your financial support, the organization wouldn't exist. Transparency is certainly at the heart of this organization, and our mission statement, strategy, operational objectives, board minutes, et cetera, are all available at gov.peeringdb.com. With that said, let's get started with the agenda. First item on the agenda is to adopt the minutes of the meeting of April 8th of 2021, and I would entertain a motion to do so.
Motion. So moved.
I think I hear Gilmore moved and second Malater.
Yes.
Okay. All in favor of adopting the meeting member meeting minutes of last year as written, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passes unanimously. All right, second item on the agenda is the financial update and a call for sponsors. Mr. Caputo, I hand it over to you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Chris Caputo, your secretary treasurer. Financial update. We are on track for about $215,000 in annual sponsorships for this year. The bank accounts are reconciled monthly, and the annual tax-exempt return will be filed in May, as is normal. Previous filings are up at the gov.peeringdb.com. I apologize, that's gov.peeringdb.com website, along with annual financial reports. I also sent the financial report out earlier today, which I'll be happy to take questions about. But to summarize a little from that, in 2021, sponsors contributed about $211,000, and that's up from $197,000 in 2020. In 2021, we spent almost $61,000 on software development and maintenance, which was down from about $93,000 in 2020. If I recall correctly, in 2020, a large amount of development was put into the IXF JSON importer. Product management was $36,000 in 2021 and is expected to be about $48,000 in 2022. Cloud services for the hosting of the database and the website, HTTP servers, HUI server, was about $27,000, including tax, in 2021. And my services as your secretary treasurer and election facilitator for the April board election came to almost about $20,000 in 2021. Over the years, we've built up some savings in the bank, and we currently have about $239,000 in the bank. Profit and loss and balance sheet reports for 2021 have been posted, as I mentioned, to gov.peeringdb.com and shared with the PDB Gov governance list earlier this year. And in a minute, I'll include a link to that. And I'm proud to report that most sponsors renew their annual sponsorship. That said, more sponsors are needed so we can better serve the community. The operations committee in particular, on which I am a volunteer, needs funding or would like funding to pay for operational support to improve service to the community while decreasing the burden on volunteers. Additional funding will also enable further PeeringDB development, faster bug fixes, promotion of PeeringDB as a tool for the community, and education. And I'd like to thank you all for the opportunity to serve this great community with this vital mission, and also for putting up with my essentially reading from bullet points that I prepared for this part of the meeting. And with that, I'd be happy to answer or try to answer any questions.
Thank you, Chris, for the update. Any questions or comments for the finance update?
Thank you.
Hearing none, we'll move on to the admin committee update. Mr. Gilmore.
Hi, everybody. My name is Patrick Gilmore. I'm the interim chair of the admin committee. For calendar year 2021, the admin committee has closed 11,594 tickets. The average time to resolve a ticket was approximately 7.5 hours, a very slight increase over the previous year. In my opinion, this is a stunning achievement. Remember, that's a close of the tickets, not first response to the tickets, and I simply could not be prouder of the team. So this time was helped by automation. Approximately 40% or 4,637 tickets were automatically handled, but because of the way we work, we still have to look over the automation, so it's not 100% human-free, but we're trying. Of the remaining, just to give you an idea of what's going on, 2,987 were for network questions and 1,650 were for adding users, and the rest were various other things. During the year, we spent some time improving processes, and we had some lively debates, shall we say, inside of the committee, but we came to a decision on some processes which are now going to be hopefully automated by the software team. The idea here is that the fewer times a human has to touch a ticket, the better for both the committee and the community. Everything's better when, you know, the machines can handle it and we still have the human backstop whenever necessary. Please remember, every member of this committee is a volunteer. They give up their time and they do this for the good of the community. They're helping the internet's peering ecosystem, and I just want to give them all, you know, my thanks as well as hopefully the thanks of everyone here and in the wider world. Those people are Darwin DaCosta, who is working as vice chair. He was chair for a short while. By the way, if I mangle your name, please forgive me. Sean Coffey, Stefan Funk, Christopher Hansen, Peter Helmenstein, Juliar Mendez, and of course, Arnold Nipper. Also, thank you to Job Snyders, who served as board liaison. If you have any questions, I'm happy to try and answer them.
Thank you, Patrick, for the update. Any comments or questions for the admin committee? All right. Thanks again, Patrick.
One more comment to the people here. This is not in my script, but I'd just like to thank everybody because I would want everybody who puts in a ticket to the PeeringDB to please remember that the volunteers are dealing with this, so do the best you can to give them all the information they need and tell all your friends to do the same. Thank you. Sorry for the extra stuff.
Cheers. Thanks again. Moving on to the Operations Committee update, Mr. Schneiders.
Hi. Thank you, Aaron. My name is Job Snyders. I'm chair of the PeeringDB Operations Committee. This committee focuses on the technical infrastructure of keeping PeeringDB up and running and available to the global community. So, for example, the website being available or emails being sent out are our responsibility. Some of the talking points I want to share with you is that in the last year, I believe we saw very good uptime, approaching 4 nines, so to speak. Last year, I mentioned that we were exploring the notion of using a CDN to facilitate the data transfer between our origins and end users. But we've decided to not yet turn this on. It appears that the PeeringDB website content is somewhat challenging to properly cache in a way that does not take away from the user experience. And we also have some concerns in relation to the benefits and the added cost that this type of service might introduce. So we have studied the use of the CDN, but concluded that for now we have other work items to focus on. Another thing that we did was enable HTTP compression for speed up, and this also reduces bandwidth use and cost. So this was a nice and easy change that makes the website feel flashier. And we're also going towards throttling of unauthenticated API calls, because we've in the last 12 months seen a few times that by accident people deploy software infrastructure that for one reason or another ends up hammering the peer-to-peer API endpoints. And this is a burden to our infrastructure in the sense that it can increase our costs, and throttling of unauthenticated APIs. API calls will help in that regard. So that's coming soon. Another change is that the website as used by humans and the API as used by programs lands on separate farms. So that if one is being hammered, the other type of use does not notice any slowdown. And again, this is to improve the user experience for our users. I want to do a shout out to the committee members, Chris Caputo, Matt Griswold, and Matthew Wolster. It is much appreciated that you put in time to help with PeeringDB operations, and I cannot thank you enough. Last but not least, I want to do a call for volunteers. It would greatly help us if there are more people who are familiar with a little bit of Python or Django or web services, load balancers, Ansible, those type of keywords. If you have an interest to flex your sysadmin skills, please consider joining the PeeringDB operations committee so that we can distribute the workloads amongst more people. And with that, I am opening up the microphone for questions, comments, and funny remarks I see in the chat.
Thank you, Mr. Snyders, for the ops update. Any comments or questions for the operations committee?
I'll just add a comment about the potential upcoming throttling of unauthenticated API calls. I would just toss in encouragement to, if you're a client developer, I encourage you to become familiar with the user and organization API keys that are available, which are far superior to using a username password to authenticate. And so we put out some how-tos or facts on the subject, and they're a great new resource that has become available in the last year or so. API keys for both organizations and users. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. There's also a comment in the chat from Mr. Levy. Statement one, CDNs are hard. Statement two, we had to code up functions that we would get for free from a CDN. Could you comment on that?
Sure. It is true that many CDNs offer so-called WAF functionality, web application firewalling, if I'm not mistaken. But the gist of it is that a CDN needs to be tightly integrated with the backend applications such as PeeringDB to make it work as smoothly as possible. So in this regard, whether you're resolving an issue at the CDN layer or resolving it in your own hosted infrastructure, it's like pushing a potato around the table. The work needs to be done by the operations committee. And I would gladly accept more help in running Peering to Be infrastructure and exploring what the next generation of Peering to Be should look like from an infrastructure point of view.
Thank you. And Martin Levy says thank you as well. Any other questions or comments for the operations committee? All right, hearing none, thank you very much, Mr. Schneiders. Next on the agenda is the Outreach Committee, Mr. Ryle.
Hi, thanks very much. I'm Ben Ryle, I'm chair of the Outreach Committee. Just thinking as I was preparing for this call, it doesn't feel like 12 months since we last got together, how time has definitely flied. First off, I'd like to thank the members of the OC, again, all volunteers, and they've all given time over the last 12 months. And that is Arnold, Bijal, Greg, Inga and Yana. With the reduction in events in the last 12 months, outreach activities, we've mainly continued to focus on virtual events, supporting these events for attendance and participation of delivering presentations. We've also been exploring how to increase engagement in regions. We see less networks of facilities and IXs listed. We've been experimenting with running adverts on targeted platforms, including Facebook and more recently LinkedIn. And we're going to continue trialing that and to see if that increases engagement that we turn into additional entries created and if that's something we continue. Looking forward to the remainder of 2022. We're excited that in-person events are going to be starting or restarting or have started. We look forward to engaging with the community again in person. To support this, we'll be shortly publishing our infographic for 2021, also preparing 2022 event swag, event presentations, and working with other committees to have updated content to engage with the community and these events. Calling out similar to what's been done already, with the expected increase in kind of events and work we're going to see this year, we're making a call for any additional volunteers. If there's anyone on this call who would like to join the OC, please feel to reach out to me. I'm happy to share further details. With that, thanks for everyone's time and happy to take any questions.
Thank you for the update, Mr. Ryle. Any questions or comments for the Outreach Committee? Hearing none, moving on to the Product Committee, Mr. McManus.
Hello, everyone. For those of you who are not aware what the Product Committee does, we drive the product, which is the website and the APIs that our users consume. Like the other committees, we're driven by a bunch of volunteers. I'll recognize them towards the end. But the volunteer resources combined with the paid resources of developers had a fantastic last 12 months. We pushed out 11 releases, including 79 issues resolved, which was probably our best year yet. And we have another release that's currently in beta that will be going out soon that has another 13 issues being resolved. From a pure volume perspective, one of our goals the previous year was having a increased release velocity, and we have definitely met that goal this year. One of the things that we're working on as a product committee is to try to get better, serving of the community by listening in a more structured way to what the community's needs are. So we conducted another annual user survey this year to help focus our development efforts. Some of the improvements that came in this last year that were directly requested by our users in that survey were improvements to search, better support for our IXF member export and import schema, improvements to the web interface, and organizational API keys, like the operations committee called out previously. So like I said, most of the, pretty much all the product committee is volunteers, but we do have paid software developer resources. A really important milestone for us this year is we saw significant contributions from volunteer developers, meaning not the people we pay to work on PeeringDB and improve it. This was possible partially because of the effort we did last year to simplify and document how you can do development to PeeringDB, so how you can contribute code, as well as community developer outreach efforts through hackathons in particular the Nanog hackathon that we partnered with the Nanog folks on. So we had a pretty good hackathon in Nanog 83, and then we got some subsequent contributions from developers at Amazon to improve how we use OAuth support for the website. Some other improvements that people might be interested in, for advanced search, users can now search in a radius around a specific location. So if there's a city you're interested in and you're looking at outlying cities, you can specify a radius and we can get locations that are nearby, as well as filtering results on a variety of different criteria that might be useful for your interconnection needs. You can export these results in structured formats like CSV, so you can import it to your own tools if the website or your coding abilities are not up to use, you know, the API directly. We've also been working very hard on documentation. So one of the reasons we've been doing this is we get lots of questions from people about how do I use PeeringDB effectively? And we definitely recognized a lack of high-quality documentation on how to do that. So we now have some documentation up on how to use various things like how to get started with PeeringDB, how to use the search, how to manage user permissions, how to do development, like I talked about earlier, adding AS112 nodes, and we're continuing to do more improvements in documentation throughout this year. From the community, we heard lots of things that are missing. We got consensus on needing a new object to represent connections between facilities that we're tentatively calling a carrier object. And we're refining the design for this right now. We'll be circulating it soon with our focus group before the summer is come to pass. As we're adding new data, we're looking at better approaches to improving and maintaining data quality for the site. Some of this we're going to try to use automated systems, but we're also looking at ways for users who notice bad data to flag it and request review of the data so it can be improved. Along the same vein, we're trying to continue work with the way we share geographical information. One of the biggest pain points we've heard from users is if you search for a location and you don't get the results you expect, you assume that the data is just not there. And really the data is there, we just don't have it standardized in the name that you're looking for. So international spellings of names for cities, for example. So we're working to standardize some of these things so it's easier for users to search and find the results that they're expecting. Another piece of feedback we got in the user survey was the website design. Some people really liked the simplicity of the design, and some people thought it was a little bit dated and wanted a more modern look and feel. So we're trying to compromise and find a design that will make everyone happy, which, you know, is unlikely, but we'll try, where we can get people a simple results that they're looking for without it becoming a 1990s looking website, for example, making it feel more fresh and modern without losing the simplicity. And part of the baby steps to get there, we're looking at improving the page load times and refactoring some of the way the website's structured so that it's a little bit more responsive and a little bit snappier. To do a more overhaul of the web page look and feel, we're hoping to get UX experience from a professional. We were looking for donated resources in 2021. Unfortunately, that didn't come through. We're looking at alternative options for this year and possibly next year. So with that, those are my main updates. I just want to thank everyone on the product committee who worked really hard in making sure PeeringDB had some significant improvements this year. Again, apologies if I butcher anyone's names. Jan Berthier, Kayla Clifford, Matt Griswold, Martin Hannigan, Peter Helmenstein, Arnold Nipper, Yolandi Robinson, Joop Snijders, and our product manager, Leo Vigoda, who's done a fantastic job of driving a lot of the product improvements this last year, and has really made my life a lot easier. So thanks, everyone, for your contributions. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. McManus, for the product update. Any questions or comments for the product committee? Hearing none, thank you all of the committee chairs for your updates and, as usual, your volunteer time and participation with the PeeringDB organization. Next item on the agenda is going to be an open Q&A, but notably also following the election, which I'll speak about in just a second, we will have our next strategy session and operational objectives for 2022. And certainly if you have any input or contributions you'd like to make towards that strategy session, you're more than welcome to email stewards and we'll take that input into consideration. That being said, I'll open this up for open mic for technical and policy Q&A. Hearing none, we'll take that as we're all doing a good job and we should continue along this line. If you have any contributions to add, certainly feel free to reach out to us via email. As for elections, we have an upcoming board election coming up here starting the
5th. Sorry to interrupt. April.
Go ahead.
1 second. Looks like Michael Costello is typing in maybe a question via chat.
Got it.
His mic is not working. Let's see if he sends something in a moment.
Sure thing.
Can you see that or can I read it for you?
Sure. Michael Costello, I'm investigating using your OAuth to authenticate and authorize some ISPs, and I'm wondering what steps you take to verify users and organizations.
I think that would be admin committee.
I think so too. Patrick?
While a fair and good question, I am not actually prepared or competent to answer it off the top of my head, and I don't want to give out bad information. If one of the AC members is on board and can answer it, that's fine. Otherwise, we can post something to the Gov list after the meeting.
I can maybe help out.
Okay.
So the OAuth-based verification, the root of the chain of trust starts with the onboarding process. So if somebody wants to register an IXP or an ISP, they use the sign-up form. The system will then reach out to points of contact associated with those internet resources to establish a connection between the user trying to sign up and the resources that represent the entity at hand. And then from that moment on, that user, if approved, that user is the admin of their own organizational object, and they can admit users or remove users or appoint other users to be admins. So what PeeringDB doing is being as careful as possible with the initial sign-up process, but afterwards, verification of users is handed over to the admins of each organizational object themselves. There is work underway to further improve upon this process. My hope is that we can leverage and automate verification against the RPKI. Because that would be an even robuster way of verifying a connection or link between users signing up and the resources they purport to have. So yeah, it's an interesting question. The verification is a mixture of what PeeringDB itself does and what admins of an organization. I hope my lengthy answer actually answers your question. All right, let me read out your comments. I'd love to hear more about the initial sign-up process and what rigor is brought to the initial admin, but I'll take it offline. Thank you, Joe and Patrick. Yeah, Michael, please reach out to us and we'll discuss this further. I can point you at our policies and at the source code that is applicable to this part of the sign-up process.
Yeah. Just to add one point, so that handles the initial sign-up and other people can be added to the organization. One of the holes we identified there is that if a user no longer is employed or affiliated with that organization, we currently don't have a great way of vetting that they're still a member of that organization. So we have some issues in the backlog that we hope to resolve soon that will allow organizations to increase the verification process. So more specifically, ensuring that an email address is part of the domain that belongs to that organization, and potentially requiring periodic emails being sent to that email address on file to make sure the person can still receive them, so that if the user has been terminated, for example, they would no longer have access to the email, and therefore their access to PeeringDB for that affiliation would no longer be valid. So that's one way we're trying to improve the trust and ability to make sure this person really works there.
Yeah, to be clear, if someone is an admin of an organization and that person is no longer working at the organization, then yes, the PeeringDB cannot know that in any way, and the organization needs to reach out to us. There are mechanisms to change the admin. It's not a trivial thing, but you can do that. But no, we are not tracking people changing jobs and things like that.
All right, Mr. Pastillo also adds, thank you, Steve. Thank you, Patrick. I think, thank you, Yep, earlier. Thank you for the question, and thank you, team, for your response. Any other questions or comments? Technical or policy? All right, hearing none, moving on to the last item on the agenda, elections. So we have a board election coming up starting on the 15th of April. If you'd like to serve the community as a candidate for a board, you still have time to submit either self-elect or recommend someone to secretary@peeringdb.com. That is Chris Caputo, the secretary, and the election observer, Steve Feldman, who will help you with the process. There's also been a recent email sent out to the PDB-gov list with detailed instructions. On the 15th, if you're a part of the gov list, you will receive a ballot from Big Pulse. Please, I encourage you to vote and show your support for candidates who want to continue to volunteer to serve time running this organization. I'm sure you'll be receiving a few more emails from Mr. Caputo over the next few days and during the election process, but we greatly encourage your participation. Any questions or comments about the upcoming board election?
Hey, Aaron, when do members have to be a member of PDB-gov to get the Big Pulse?
Mr. Caputo, could you answer that question? I believe it's by the 14th. Okay. But go ahead.
Oh, is the question when or why? I'm sorry, I missed the...
When? What is the date that a person needs to be subscribed to be able to vote?
They can subscribe during the election, and if they email the secretary saying they've subscribed, they'll go through the process of confirming that they're an authorized voter for the organization. Also, I will periodically check during the election window. I will periodically check for new subscribers, and I do reach out to them and let them know of the ongoing election and what it takes to become a voter. So that obviously, as you get to the last day or last hours, they might miss it, but in the days leading up, they should be covered. Sorry, leading up to the end of voting, which is the 29th. So there's not an early cutoff.
Thanks, Chris.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Molitor. Any other questions or comments regarding the election? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, everybody, for your participation and your support of the PeeringDB organization. Look forward to seeing you all in person over the course of the next year. Take care, everyone.